thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Well, before we jump into today's passage, do you mind if I just indulge just a little bit? I don't know if you would realise, and I think perhaps you probably won't realise this, I've just notched up 2 years here at GBC. Yeah, thank you. You are very kind, very kind. It's a real blessing to be here at GBC, and I feel privileged to be part of the team, of the staff in particular. There's some really great people on staff, and it is a privilege to be on staff. In the 2 years that I've been here, I have completed my graduate diploma in divinity, and I've commenced just recently now my master's degree. I didn't get any honours or any special awards or anything like that, but I did cross the finish line. So I'm proud of that. I'm celebrating that. You've got to take the wins when you get them, right? But I'm also, like, I'm proud of the time that I've been here, and I'm proud of the church, of our church. I sit there and think of the courage that we have as a church and the tenacity and the willingness to step out in faith in producing a series for the Australian Christian Channel. That is a real privilege to do that, and I'm proud to be part of a church that does that. Just this week, I received a phone call. As I was sitting in the office, the phone rang, received a phone call from a lady who was sitting from Newcastle. She lives in a nursing home and she's not able to get out. And she was calling up just to say, I love New Horizons. I love your show. I watch the Australian Christian Channel and I just wanted to call up and say, I have been blessed by the show. And so I felt proud. I was really joyed about that. I'm also proud of the fact that as a church community, we have this relationship and connection with Southern Community Welfare, this arm that reaches out into our community to help people when they're going through difficult times in their life. It is a real privilege, and I'm proud of the fact that as a church community, we have Southern Community Welfare on our doorsteps. And of course, I'm proud of May Mission Month. Like, that figure is phenomenal. $272,000 raised for local and overseas missionaries. So, I'm really proud to be part of this church. But let's jump into the Word. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. I'll give you a second to flip there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That's a little awkward, isn't it? Pride goes before destruction. Of course, it must be said, right, that there's good pride and bad pride, isn't there? In fact, it's actually biblical that there is good pride and bad pride. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. The Lord detests the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. But then there's Romans chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, and this is Paul speaking. I'm talking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my people to envy and save some of them. And then there's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. I've spoken to you with great frankness. I take pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. We might attribute this seemingly contradictive term to the fact that there are variations in the definition of pride. You know, pride comes when we have a sense of satisfaction of an achievement. When we put hard work and effort into something and we reach an accomplishment, we feel pride. Pride comes from self-respect as a result of our identity, of our culture or shared experiences. And we can be proud of our heritage, or we can be proud because we belong to a certain people group. And finally, pride that is the result of having an excessively high opinion of oneself. And of course, we all know someone like that, don't we? And so perhaps it's this last definition of pride that this proverb is talking about. This arrogant, obnoxious, elitist pride. But if we were to park spirituality and faith to one side for just one second and have a look at the secular world in which we live, we see this kind of selfish, arrogant pride presenting itself in many different ways. There's the sports person who starts to celebrate before they cross the finish line, only to trip and stumble, and then the person who's coming second overtakes them and wins the race. There's the business person who does some dodgy deals. They think that they're above the law, that they won't get caught, only to be publicly disgraced when the truth comes out. Or there's the politician who stands for one set of values only to be revealed as a hypocrite. And we, as society, we kind of revel on this, don't we? As we see somebody come along with a puffed up chest and this arrogant kind of swagger, we reach for the popcorn and start eating and go, watch this, this is going to get good. We just wait in anticipation for the fall. And all this points to the fact that in the fabric of this universe that we live in, there is an observed law that those who are full of pride and those who are haughty will eventually meet their humiliating demise. It doesn't always happen, but it happens often enough that we realize that it is a rule. The reason we actually observe this is because this is the way that God created the world. God designed the world so that pride would lead to destruction. From the very beginning, pride went before a fall. Pride went before the fall. If we have a look at Genesis chapter 3, and we see the story of the fall in the Garden of Eden, pride is there. After telling the serpent that God had instructed them not to eat a certain fruit from a certain tree because they will surely die, the serpent responds, "You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat from this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like a God, knowing good and evil." In verse 6, the woman, she sees the fruit is good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who ate it as well. It's pride. You can almost imagine the conversation that went on between Adam and Eve. You know, if we eat this fruit, we could gain wisdom. We could be like God. And what's the definition of pride? The satisfaction that comes from an achievement and the result of having an excessively high opinion of oneself. And what's greater than thinking you're on the same playing field as God? Pride was there in the garden at the fall. It's pride, and it manifests itself in things like selfishness, envy, desire, greed, pride before the fall. So how do we respond to this? We know that there are elements of pride that are good, but ultimately the pride leads to destruction. Do we simply figure out what good pride is and put it in a nice, neat package over here and then figure out what bad pride is and just ignore it and just focus on good pride? Like as if there's some kind of scale. It seems like it might be an easy option for us, but let's just try this out. So is it okay for me to be proud of my kids? Probably leaning towards the yes. But what happens if that pride leads to me thinking that my kids are better than everybody else's kids? It starts to swing towards the negative, doesn't it? What about, is it okay for me to think that I'm actually better than any other person? Probably on the negative. Although we're not so sure. Maybe. Okay. What about the fact that, I believe that I'm the best driver that there is, and if I ever have an accident, it's most certainly not my fault, and everybody else is a worse driver than myself. Okay. How about this one? Is it okay to be proud of May Mission Month? Is it okay to be proud that as a church, together, we raised $272,652.74? This is the conundrum that I was faced with this week. Because I was coming up with situation after situation after situation, and I really am thinking, where is that line? And then it hit me. It's not about the what. It's about the why. It's about the why. It's all about our hearts. It's about where our motives lie. You know, the situation or the circumstance is almost irrelevant if our heart is in the wrong place. If what we're doing, we do for selfish desires, then it doesn't matter if we do good things. If we're doing it to make ourselves happy, or if we're doing it to make a better name for ourselves, then ultimately we're heading for destruction. The answer is found in the heart. Pride is ultimately about the condition of the heart. If we are focused inwards, then it does not matter. We are heading for a fall. And it's because God values humility over pride. He calls each and every one of us to be humble. If we have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is directed towards the Israelites who have just spent the past 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It reads from verse 1, "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and you may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. To humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that humanity does not live on bread alone, but on the very word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." And then in verse 10, "When you have eaten and you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and you are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you'll forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We are called to be humble, to give thanks and to give the glory to God in everything that we do. We are called to follow Jesus' example. We are called to love God and to love others. We are to seek God's will for our lives and to be obedient to that call, to follow Jesus' lead and to love the least in our society, and to do our best at welcoming others into the kingdom of God, and to do it self-sacrificially. Now, pride can be a very slippery slope of selfishness. Now, it can take the glory and focus away from God, and it can take our eyes and our hearts away from him. And pride says that I can do this on my own. I don't need God. I have become self-sufficient. And here's the thing about pride is that it's sneaky. It's deceptive. It's almost invisible. You know, the moment we think that pride is not applicable to our own lives is probably the moment that we've become proud. You know, pride lurks in the deep recesses of our own hearts, masking itself and hiding itself. Sure, we may be wise enough not to boast or to be openly arrogant around other people. We might be wise enough to push pride deep down and suppress it. But repressing pride and gaining humility aren't the same thing, are they? See, pride is so conniving. It's arrogant. It's self-obsessed. And one of the hardest things to do is to actually identify pride in our own lives. Now, Matt Willis and I are heading up the young adults ministry together. And this past semester at Morling College, I've been studying pastoral care. And my major assessment for the semester was to research a demographic and then from that demographic produce a 5-week Bible study series for that demographic. So being the wise person that I am, I decided to choose young adults living in the Sutherland Shire. And because this was not just an assignment, but something that I was really hoping to transition across and to bring into some kind of practical reality, I really poured my heart out, my blood, sweat, and tears into this assessment. I tried my very best like I haven't tried before. And I submitted that assessment. And when I got the marks back, I actually got the best marks I've ever received for any assessment. And I was proud of my effort. I was really proud. And so as I sat down with Matt and we began to talk about this upcoming series and we discussed some of the research that I'd undertaken, some of the findings that I'd come up with, and then the series, the blueprint for the series that I'd come up with, he was getting really excited. He's like, yes, this sounds really good. I love it, you know. And then he was like starting to throw some ideas. Oh, yes, like in this section here, we could do this. And how about this and how about that? And I'm sort of there going, yeah, kind of, I suppose. But then deep down inside me, what was really happening was I was saying, no, you can't. This is my blood, sweat, and tears. This is my assignment. I got a really good mark for this. You can't change it. And just like that, pride showed its face. You know, it's interesting how something that is completely innocent, to be proud of an effort that you've put in, can somehow, ever so subtly, ever so sneakily, morph into this selfish arrogance. The situation was the same. The source of the pride was the same. It was the heart that had become corrupt. You see, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not even about Matt. It's about the hearts and the lives of the young people that God is calling us to minister to. It's about the work that God is doing in their lives and the fact that God invites us to participate with Him in His work. We're called to come with open hands, open hearts, and open minds, and to be obedient to what it is that He is calling, to be obedient to what He is calling us to do, the work that He is doing. And this translates to every single one of us in every single aspect of our lives. Do you serve in any capacity, in any way, shape, or form, whether here at church or elsewhere, for the kingdom of God? If you do, why do you do it? What are your motives? What do you get out of it? Do you get a name for yourself? Do you get some respect from other people? And if you don't serve in any capacity, in any way, shape, or form, why not? Now, I understand that there are some fair and reasonable reasons why we might not, but as we begin to think about why we don't serve in any way, shape, or form, is there any pride coming through in your answer? Or how about at work? Are there any behaviors or tactics that you've employed that you'd be ashamed of? Do you hold yourself in a higher regard than your peers or your competitors? Or how about your family and friends? Are you the most important person within your family and your network? Now, what is it that we're proud of? What is it that motivates us? Where is it that we place our value? Now, I'm convinced that each and every one of us has an issue with pride. If for no other reason than the fact that it was there in the Garden of Eden at the fall, and that it has permeated itself throughout history, through every tribe, tongue, and nation, including us. So where is pride in your life? And where is your heart in that pride? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You and we ask that You reveal to us, Lord, where we are proud. But Father, we pray this so that You'll convict us, Lord, but we pray not that we feel judgment and not that we feel condemnation, Lord, because we know that You are a loving and gracious God. And You are one who delights in shining a light in the darkness, a light onto sin, for the purpose of healing and restoration. Lord, convict us of our pride and help us, Lord, to be proud in You and the wonderful work that You are doing in and amongst us. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.